You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Notice again, when we dealt with Psalm 46, again, the Lord is speaking through the psalmist to his children or to his people. And when he gets down to verse 10, he is saying to the people of God to be still and to know that he is God. Number one, when I dealt with being still, I dealt with you and I not allowing anything or anybody to move us in the wrong direction. And we noticed when we looked at Psalm 46, in particular verse 2 and verse 3, there was trouble manifesting itself, and the people of God needed to, again, know God, and they needed to be still despite the fact that they were seeing trouble. Because, again, with some of us, we allow what we see to move us, and some of us allow what we hear to move us. But nevertheless, the Lord was, again, saying to his people, be still, be still. In other words, don't allow anything or anybody to cause you, again, to move in the wrong direction. Because if we be honest, there's a lot of us, we simply allow people to cause us to move in the wrong direction. And so for many of us, if we're going to be still, we have to have better discernment as to who we need to listen to. Even better discernment when it comes to who we're going to hang with, who we're going to be tight with. We need to exercise better discernment. And you may say, well, Pastor, how do I exercise better discernment? Well, the type discernment that I'm talking about comes through God. In other words, we need to spend time with God. You need to spend time with God so you can see more than what you can only see with your natural eyes. How many know our natural eyes are limited? Even our knowledge is limited. Our education is limited. But when it comes to God, if you would spend time with God, how many know God will show you things that you could never see on your own? I'm going to take it a step farther. God will show you things that a person that you got a whole lot of confidence in could never tell you. He'll show you things that they could never warn you about simply because they also are limited. And so when it comes to some of us, if we are not going to allow people to move us in the wrong direction, we need to have better discernment, again, when it comes to who we're going to listen to and when it comes to who we're going to hang with. You got to have good discernment if you're not going to allow people to move you. You know, you can't allow demons to move you. You can't allow the spirit of fear to move you. And mainly, you cannot allow trouble to move you. You can't allow it to happen. Notice what I'm saying, not allowing. When you're being still, you are not allowing anything or anybody, again, to move you. But if you're here tonight and you are allowing such things to move you and to cause you not to trust in God, or to cause you not to do the right thing, then you're not being still. You need to be still and know God. You need to be still and be determined, be purposeful that, you know what, I can't afford to allow anything or anybody to move me. See, a lot of time the reason I'm so steadfast is because I know if I keep doing what God tells me to do, breakthrough will come. I said, breakthrough will come. See, many of us, we get anxious and begin to move because we wonder at God's word. Even though you've been taught scriptures like Isaiah 55 and 11, where his word will not go out and return unto him void, but it'll accomplish what he sent it to do. Yet when God give us a word, instead of us knowing that his word is sure, we allow things to move us. You hear what I say? I say we allow it to happen. We need to stop saying somebody made us do something. Nobody make us do anything. We allow something to cause us to do the wrong thing. And part of being mature is learning from your own mistakes. Learn from what got you the last time. Learn from something that you know moved you the last time, and you're determined you're going to be purposeful this time and not allow what moved you in the past to move you again. See, y'all quiet, because some of us, it's the same thing keep moving us. It's the same thing keep causing you to distrust God. And you don't need to allow that to happen. You need to recognize tonight you have everything you need to withstand whoever or whatever is trying to cause you to move. You have everything in you to withstand whatever attack is coming your way. You can handle it. Look at somebody and just shout to him or her, whatever you're going through tonight, you well able to handle it. Look back at somebody else and tell him or her that same thing. Tell him, whatever you're going through tonight, you are well able to handle it. If you believe that, give God a praise. If you believe, you're well able to handle. Some of us clapping on credit, but we need to really give him the praise. You said, Pastor, I'm going to clap because you told me to. I'm going to do this because you. No, you need to clap because you recognize you are able. Listen, if you truly saved, filled with the Spirit of God, I don't have no more Holy Ghost than you have. You need to know you can handle what you're going through. Number two, when you're being still, I talked about the fact that it has to do with a person being careful not to enter into sin. I say, again, when you're being still, you're being careful. And, of course, we in a year where we're maintaining what we're being careful to maintain what type work? Good works. We're maintaining what type work? Good works. We started the year talking about that we had to be careful that we maintain good what? Works. Now, a lot of us have not did that. You know, we kind of took the thing for granted. You know, even though I said at the beginning of the year, when God comes and tells you be careful to maintain good work, you all know up front something or somebody is coming to do what? Stop me from maintaining what? Good work. That's just certain themes that God give you. You should know the battle is on. The fight is on. Something is going to come with the sole purpose of stopping me or hindering me from maintaining the good works that I need to maintain. And so I'm saying to you again, we have to be careful not to enter into sin. I talked about three things when it comes to our speaking, our thinking, and our acting. I talked about being still means that I am not going to enter into sin. I said it like this Sunday, I believe. I'm going to watch my mouth, I'm going to watch my thinking, and I'm going to watch my actions. See, notice this. You're not responsible for watching my mouth, for watching my thinking. I'm responsible for my talking. I'm responsible for how I talk. I'm responsible for how I think. Most of all, I'm responsible for what I do. And I'm saying that to say this, when you know you're on the verge of speaking, thinking, or doing something that's not right, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. You and all of us know when we're on the verge of speaking, thinking, or acting wrong. Now, I wanna focus in tonight on thinking, because if your thinking is unproductive, you are going to be unproductive. And if your thinking is messed up, your speaking going to be messed up and your doing going to be messed up. Because if I'm not thinking right, I'm not going to talk right. I say, if I'm not thinking right, no need in thinking I'm going to talk right and I can't even think right. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart or the mind, the mouth does what? It speaks. It speaks. And if I'm not thinking right, I'm not going to do right. And so I want to kind of deal with this tonight because I know that if a person can get his or her thinking right, everything else is going to work up. Everything else is going to work out. It's going to work itself out. I want us to know tonight that productive thinking leads to productive living. See, productive thinking leads to productive living. Productive thinking leads to productive living. But on the other hand, deadly thinking will result in a life of ruin or a life of destruction. If your thinking is destructive, you're not going to like the outcomes that you get in life. And so, again, the vision of the church is that we be productive in every what aspect of life. And so if I'm going to be productive in every aspect of life, I need to have productive thinking. How many agree with that tonight? How many agree with that? Let's start in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter tonight. Let's notice Proverbs, the 23rd chapter tonight. I want to deal with some thinking tonight. Proverbs 23. Notice verse number 7 tonight. Notice Proverbs 23 and 7. Productive thinking will lead to productive living. Some of us know that to be true. Some of us, we clap because it sounded good. You say, that's good. That's good. You know how folk, when they hear something, they'll say, that's good right there. You know, and that's good that you clapping for something that you deem good. But then it was a number of us, we clap because we know, hey, that not only sounded good, that is right. That's happening for me. That's happening for me. Some of us that our lives used to be jacked up, but now we are actually living productive. We can tell folk that was a mindset change. That was a mindset. We don't think like we used to. No way. No way. I don't, when it comes to dealing with money, I don't think the same way I thought 6 or 7 years ago. Because if I had that same type thinking, no doubt I wouldn't have what I have right now. I had to change my thinking. I had to change my thinking. And sometimes that can be challenging, or that can be some strenuous. It takes something when you know what? It's my thinking that is messing me up, and I need to get control of it. I like what the Hebrew writer said. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. By the renewing of your what? Mind. See, when you come to church, one reason you come to church, not just to get your praise on and to worship, but you also come to church to renew your mind. See, tonight, if you really listening and you came to get something, your mind should be renewed by the word of God. Why does God want us to renew our mind? So that we can have what he wants us to have. So that we can be who he has ordained for us to be. Some of you are not being who God ordained for you to be because you are not renewing your mind. Renew your mind simply means clean out the junk that has got entrapped in your mind and put into your mind the right things. See, some of us, we meditate on the wrong thing too much. There's some good teaching tonight, because again, productive thinking will always lead to productive living. If you change your thinking, you can change how you living. Well, Pastor, I can't help what I do. Yes, you can. You first have to start with your thinking. Thinking also has to do with a person's attitude. Your attitude. Now notice a powerful scripture in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse. Now he's speaking in reference to the miser. But it's a principle that's at work that will be the same for the miser as it will any other person. So let's get that straight. Proverbs 23 and 7, he said, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You see it? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. See, listen to me. If you think defeated, you're going to be defeated. Even though God has showed up to give you the victory, if you have in your mind that you're a defeated person, situations and circumstances will continue to defeat you until you realize you're not alone in whatever battle you're in tonight. See, the job of the enemy is to convince you that you're alone. The job of God is to always convince you that you're never alone. Even when folk walk off, God said, you still not alone. Why? Because I promise you that I never leave you nor forsake you. How you going to have a defeated mind in God with you? You can't. But when it comes to some of us, the reason certain things don't work out is because we have a defeated mind. Some of us go into a fixed battle, lose the battle, because we went in it with a defeated mind. I can say stuff like, this is going to be a good week. And you won't even give it a chance. I said, this is going to be one of the best weeks of our life. Pastor always say stuff like that. We got to work on this. Notice this right here. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. If you're going to be victorious, you have to know you are victorious. If you're going to have the victory, you got to have a victorious mindset. And whatever battle God allowed to come your way, you should know with God, I'm going to win this. Notice Psalm 4. Notice Psalm 4 tonight. Notice Psalm 4. Again, I'm still dealing with the thinking. Psalm 4 and 4. Notice what the psalmist said. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be what? Be angry and do not what? Meditate within your heart on your bed and be what? And be what? First of all, notice this. I don't have to sin. You don't have to sin because things go wrong. You don't have to talk wrong because trouble is at the door. You don't have to think wrong because you're in the worst trial of your life, seemingly. But what you do have to do is get control of your attitude and recognize that, first of all, I don't have to sin. I'm in a battle, but I don't have to do the wrong thing. I don't have to meditate on the wrong thing. I can control my talking, my thinking, and my acting. I'm teaching real good tonight. I said I can control that. That's within the power of my control. To not allow my mind to wonder whether or not God gonna bring me out. See, it's your responsibility when God has given you a word and the battle goes from being bad to worse. It's your responsibility to keep your mind on what God told you. Because some of the promises God is going to give us, he going to give it to you in your private prayer closet. And your neighbor didn't hear what God told you. Your spouse didn't hear what God told you. But if you know he told you something, you are responsible for meditating on what he said. If God said you coming out, you have to choose to meditate on, I'm coming out. Get a mindset to say, I'm on my way out. Start talking about, I'm on my way out. And you'll notice that you'll be on your way out. It's certain thing God said to me. When God changed the season in my life, I had to meditate on the season he said it was and not the season that I was feeling, seeing, or experiencing. I'm going to talk based upon the season you said it was, God, and not the season that my money is trying to tell me I'm in. Because, listen, it's God that decree a season, but it's up to you to walk in that season. God can order the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by God, but God can't make you take the steps. And see, often when God deems it a new season for you, it won't happen overnight. It won't happen immediately. It may be a month or so before you see any change whatsoever in reference to what he said. But you have to be the type of person that's walking with expectation. And so I'm looking even for the smallest things. I'm looking for the things that are minute because that's important when it comes to God. That's reading one writer said, despise not the day of what? Small beginnings. When you keep your mind on what God said, little things can happen that the average person will never pick up on. But because you've been meditating on that word day and night, you know what's happening is a result of what God said. And it ain't just no luck. This is what God spoke through Pastor 2 weeks ago when he prophesied my miracle into existence. And I have not let that go since you said it, Pastor. See, notice that you have control. I love the way the psalmist said that. Be angry. Do not what? Sin. But meditate within your heart on your bed and be what? Still. And be what? Still. And be what? Still. Says to me, I can do it. I can be still. Trouble all around, but I don't have to be shaken. I don't have to be moved by what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, or even possibly what I may be experiencing. I have to be still. Notice Philippians. Let's take it a step farther. Notice the book of Philippians tonight. Gonna get us a new mindset tonight. So we're gonna get us a new mindset tonight. And let me say this, why you find in Philippians 4. This mindset can't just be with you at church. That's part of the problem right now. Most of us, this mindset that I'm preaching about tonight, you just can't have this in the sanctuary only. How many know that's right? When you decide to get your act together, if you will, you know that's bigger than just you coming to church. You got to have this mindset on your job. Got to have it in your home. Because you'd be surprised the amount of folk that when they're in a church setting, they don't just say anything. It's seemingly like when they leave the church, they just let the guard down and they don't wash their mouth. Now understand this, I can preach an hour straight or even 2 hours without having you tell your neighbor anything. I can just do all the talking. Because I know some of you wonder, man, why are you always saying, tell your neighbor. It's a training. It's a training to take place. Because I'm never telling you to tell your neighbor something whereby you're going to be speaking deaf. It's always having you to speak what? Lie. Getting you used to speak. Don't do this, but I just say, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, this my year. Do you know some folk even find it difficult, even setting up in the church, to speak something that they cannot see? But see, you have to get accustomed not only to just speaking live because the pastor say speak it. Downtime, you're going to be going through something at your house. And it's going to be important that you open up your mouth and speak the word of God. Not to be silent. There's a time to be silent, but then there's a time to open up your mouth and decree the will of God over your life. Decree the will of God over your situation. Decree the will of God over your circumstances. Notice Philippians 4. Again, verse 8. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these what? Things. Meditate on these what? Things. Meditate on these what? Things. The things which you what? See, I missed it. See, I messed y'all up right there. Look at verse 9. The things which you have what? Learned. The things which you have what? Learned. So first of all, he gives them a list of things and tells them these are the type things you need to meditate on. But then he says in verse 9, he said, also the things which you have learned. See, when you come to church and you are taught, you're responsible again for meditating upon what you learned. What did I learn tonight? I learned to be still. I learned that God was with me and I have to meditate on it. I can't allow demons to steal the word out of my heart. Because that's what happened. Whenever you let go of what you have been taught and you're no longer meditating upon that, something or somebody has stolen the word out of your heart. Because God has not just given us this word just for us to meditate on it while we're here. I mean, no, that's right. That means something may happen tonight. God gave you a word that should be on your mind. Whatever may happen tomorrow, God gave you a word that should be embedded in your spirit. You'd be surprised how many times folk have went through something. But if they had been meditating on what I taught, God was speaking to you about that 2 or 3 weeks before it ever happened. But you allow something or somebody to take that word out of your heart. When trouble hits you to the point to where you can say something like, I didn't even see this coming. I had no clue about this. I challenge you, go back and listen to the messages that were preached 2 to 3 weeks prior before you got in that situation. You're going to be amazed at how God was talking to you. How many of you ever did? How many of you ever went back and looked at your notes? Went back and listened to a CD and you said, God, I thought I got it all that day. But I probably didn't get 60% of what you were saying to me in totality. Why? Because many of us, we don't meditate on the word. Psalm 1:1, I believe it is, that talked about meditating on it day and night. It has to do with a child of God being what? Continuous when it comes to the word. Day represents good, but night represents something that's troublesome. Figurative of meditating on the word when it's good, but also meditating on the word when it's seemingly bad. Amen. Notice this again. Finally, my brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these what? See, how many like to meditate on things that's praiseworthy? Don't lie in church. Some of us, be honest, we like to meditate on negative stuff. See, he said, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on that. Meditate on your turnaround. Meditate on better. Meditate on the money coming. Meditate on getting the house. Meditate on getting the favor. Meditate on getting the job. Meditate on getting the scholarship. Come on, meditate on being married. Whatever it is that you know God has promised you, meditate upon that. Think upon that. And when you get to thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, after a while, some joy is going to start bubbling up. And folk won't understand why you so happy, because they can't see what you meditate on. I'm not getting wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in my present. I'm meditating on what God told me. So you got to meditate on it. Again, notice this. Meditate on. That's what he said in verse 8. Meditate on these what? Things. Meditate on these what? Things. Tell your neighbor, that's controlled thinking. See? It's up to me. No, I ain't gonna be depressed today. No. No. Something happened that would have normally depressed me, but no, I ain't got time to be depressed. Too much stuff happening. Too many things happen. What I'm about to do? I'm about to choose to meditate on something that's praiseworthy. I'm about to meditate, get my mind on something that's going to bring me up out of this basement, that's going to bring me up out of this attic, that's going to bring me up out of this dark and dry place into a better place. Watch this. All by choice. All by choice. If you depressed, it's by choice. If you stay oppressed, it's by choice. If you stay sad, it's by choice. But there are times situations will be hitting you, demanding that you be sad. You got to have controlled thinking, honey. You got to say, no, 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 I'm not going to think upon that. I'm not going to think upon my past as if my past dictates my present and my future. That was the past. This is now. I'm not limited by what I've been through. See, folk that often get real sad, they choose to meditate on things they can't even control. Get your mind out of the past. Know that God is doing something right now. See, you should have been able to get happy about that. Meditate. God doing something right now. Regardless of what you've been, don't meditate on things that cause you to be depressed and oppressed. Things that keep you locked down. No. No. See, what? Notice what he said at the end of the verse 8. He said, meditate on these what? Things. Controlled thinking. Then he said, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these what? Do. Control actions. See, I can meditate, I can control my thinking, but then Paul told them, these things you learned, you saw in me, he said, now do them. Well, Pastor, I'm going to try to do it. He didn't tell you to try to do it. He said, do it. The vision of the church is that you be productive in every aspect of your life. Why don't you try? Stop trying to be productive and go ahead and just be productive, because that's what God said. See, Paul said, these things do. He said, you're more than a conqueror. So go out there and overcome. Go out there and conquer. Too many of us leave here as more than conquerors, and we come back as wimps, as crybabies, complainers, ready to tell somebody how it didn't happen. Why don't you take the word, go out there and whoop up on some demons? Take the word, go out there and whoop up on some circumstances. Come back with a testimony of how you did something that was just amazing, mind-blowing. Good word tonight. Because I'm going to tell you about Pastor Cocker. I'm just not going to be defeated. Go back to Psalm 40 and say, I don't even have a defeated mind anymore. I used to. With a defeated mind, you are always wishing you were somebody else. I've been through the old days. If I had so-and-so talent, if I had so-and-so money, if I could do it like so-and-so. But then God said, why don't you just be who I made you? Why don't you just be the best you that you can be? Because I'm with you the same way I am with them. And it was my own mindset that was tripping me up. But notice Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I talked about two things that it represented. One, God was sovereign. Y'all remember that? Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. Omnipresent, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. How can I be still? He's sovereign. And in the word sovereign, in the latter part of the word, half of the word has to do with rain. See, our God reigns. Not enough to sing it. You better get it up in your spirit for when opposition comes. It ain't enough to have it as your ringtone if it ain't down deep within your spirit. Come on. Some of us got some wonderful songs that are ringtones and so forth. But you yet to let that thing get embedded in your spirit. See, when it gets embedded in your spirit, I may or may not have the phone with me when all hell breaks loose. But if the word is down on the inside of me. Number two, I talked to you about he was the covenant God. You can be still because God is the covenant one. Covenant God means God is faithful. Watch this. God is not trying to be faithful. God is always faithful. Never disappointing those that trust in him. Never abandoning those that are looking to him for help. And it also had to do with, when you look at the covenant God, it represented relationship. The fact that we're in a relationship with God. And so that's the reason I can be still, because I'm in a relationship with God. Whereby, if I do what I'm supposed to do, listen, God will always do what he's supposed to do. How many recognize that? But notice the wording carefully in Psalm 46 and 10. He said, be still and know, I'm going to leave off God. But watch this. Be still and know that I am. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar with anybody? Be still and know that what? I am. Where do we first see God revealing himself as the I am? You got to go all the way back to the old covenant when Israel kept crying out to him for some help. He finally got to dealing with Moses, told Moses, I'm about to use you in a special way. I'm about to bring my folk up out of bondage, and I'm about to bring them out of bondage into better. Tell your neighbor, that's what God doing for you. Tell somebody, you coming out of bondage into better. Tell your neighbor, that's when you going through this, that, and the other. Tell your neighbor, he bringing you out of bondage into better. Tell your neighbor, stop frowning, start smiling. You coming out of bondage into better. You coming out of bondage into better. That's what I am meant. When God spoke, I am, he was about to do for a group of folk what they could not do for themselves. Do you hear what God's saying tonight? God's saying, if you trust me, I'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. Watch this. I'll make things and people let you go that want to hold on to you. Sit down. When he talked to Moses, Moses said, Lord, how can I go? If I go, they're going to want to know that who sent me. They're going to want to know your name. I got to tell them a name, because every time God would do something in the old covenant, he always left a name for somebody. He always left a reference. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. God about to move for you, baby. And when he get done, he going to leave a reference. He going to leave something that you going to know him by. He told Moses, he said, you go. You talk to Pharaoh. Talk to the one that think he in charge. Talk to the one that think he a king. Talk to the one that think he's the boss and the shot call. Talk to him, Moses. Lord, what I'm going to tell? Tell him that I am is sending you. Tell him that the I am is sending you. I am that I am. I will be who I will be. Sit down so I can deal with this and close it. What was God saying in that I am? He was saying, when it come to me, tell Pharaoh to understand ain't nobody like me. Tell him he ain't fought nobody like me. Tell him his armies ain't fought nobody like me. I am. What are you, God? I'm the one that was there in the beginning when there was nothing. I am. I'm the one that created everything your eyes see. I am. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I am the one that can exist without needing help from anybody. And so when I tell somebody they coming out, who in the world can hold them? If somebody would have given him a praise right now. I know we in Bible study, but the I am is talking to you. He said, go. Talk to him. Tell him. And God, watch this, without the help of any other army, brought some slaves out of bondage and gave them the best land of their day and time. I'm talking to somebody. What God is trying to do for you, he's trying to give you something that you can't get without him. This is the reason you need to be still. Because if you don't be still, you can't get this next blessing. Gotta be still.